Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin, coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Today, I'm presenting the first of our programs on Ohio wild edible, medicinal, and useful native species. Now, while the chances of you needing to live off your land in the same way Native Americans and early settlers did are slim, I think you might be interested to learn how many of Ohio's native plants are nutritious and tasty food sources. They range from the obvious, like wild berry bushes and nut-bearing trees, to plants you might consider common weeds. Adding some of these to your landscape can not only help you put food on your table, but also help the local bird and pollinator populations. When wandering through your local woodlot or thicket, you may easily identify pines, oaks, roses, apples, and maples, and could immediately make a start on gathering and fixing edibles. But it's worth noting that the ability to determine species or species groups is useful knowledge for any situation. And this broadcast is meant to inform on species that you could incorporate into your landscape, but it's certainly not a substitute for adequate training before gathering and using these species from the wild. Today's broadcast concerns native shrubs, which are not just useful for food, but are also very ornamental and, of course, useful to wildlife. The first is a group of shrubs in the apple family, commonly known as service berries. They can survive in many different habitats and can take the shape of a single trunk tree type or a multi-stemmed shrub type. Service berries are often a preferred browse for deer and rabbits, and the caterpillars of several moths and butterflies feed on serviceberry as well as various other insects. Historically, Native Americans used serviceberry for fresh and dried fruit, and the young bark from the branches was boiled into a tea. They also boiled the fruit with meat, soaked the dried fruit in water, and drank the resulting concoction. And they also pounded the dried fruit into pemmican, beat berries into a paste, and then dried into cakes for travel or storage. Berries also were dried and mixed with cornmeal. Current uses for service berries are sauces and also in pies. They can be dried for winter use, and they're often pre-cooked and then used in muffins. Using service berry fruit with the seed still inside gives baked goods an almond-like flavor. And I do want to note that the overconsumption of service berries can have a laxative effect. The next shrubs I want to talk about are native roses. The blooms are always a lovely shade of pink. Now, we're talking about Ohio native roses, and they are always pink. You can find a native species of rose that will tolerate most soil conditions. My favorites are the Carolina rose, swamp rose, and the prairie or climbing rose. Another wonderful native is smooth rose, which is called this due to the fact that it has no thorns except for at the base of the plant. Now, the most important visitors to rose flowers are bumblebees, minor bees, and green metallic bees. The caterpillars of many species of moths also feed on wild roses. Upland game birds and small mammals eat the rose hips, including the ring-necked pheasant, bob white, cottontail rabbit, eastern striped skunk, and the white-footed mouse. These animals help to disperse the seeds across considerable distances. The leaves, buds, and twigs of roses are browsed by the white-tailed deer. Now, the fruit of native roses, which I already mentioned is called a hip, are red and edible, and they have kind of a mealy textured pulp and a lot of tiny seeds. Rose hips are an excellent source of vitamin C. Three hips contain as much of the vitamin as a medium-sized orange. Now, historically, our early settlers often used the hips to make conserves. Native Americans used rose hips as a fruit and also ate them for stomach problems. They even made an eyewash for cataracts out of the inner bark of the roots. The most common food uses today are for jam, syrup, tea, and candy. And some folks dry the fruit and use it as a snack. Now, wild blackberries and wild black raspberries are also in the rose family, and they're native shrubs which provide sweet, tasty, and nutritious fruits. I'm sure just about everyone out there is familiar with blackberries and raspberries. The nectar of the flowers attracts honeybees, bumblebees, mason bees, leaf-cutting bees, cuckoo bees, halictid bees, and adrenid bees. Less often, small butterflies and skippers visit the flowers of black raspberries and blackberries for a nectar. Now, the fruit of both of these is an important source of food for many upland game birds and songbirds. Raccoons, fox squirrels, and chipmunks also eat the fruit, and rabbits and deer will browse on the foliage and stems. Because these berries have a similar deep purple color and appearance, many people think that they are just different names for the same fruit, but they are two distinct fruits. Blackberries and black raspberries are related, but they are much different. The raspberries have a noticeably short growing season, while blackberries are more available for a longer time. Blackberries can be thornier than black raspberries, but there are many cultivars now of blackberries that are thornless. Telling the difference in the fruit is very easy. Black raspberries leave a piece of the inside of the fruit on the stem from which they're picked, so they have a hollow core. With blackberries, the entire fruit comes off the stem, and they'll have a white or green core where they were attached to the stem. Black raspberries also are sweeter than blackberries. Both of these fruits are low in calories and an excellent source of fiber, vitamin C, and antioxidant compounds. Eating either of these are good for your digestive system and your blood vessels, and potentially can even reduce your risk of cancer. Because they're soft fruits and they're highly perishable, you must keep them refrigerated once picked and use them within 2 to 3 days. Now, historically, both have been used as fresh and dried fruit in jellies, cold drinks, and even salads. Blackberries have been used in a decoction as a diarrhea treatment, and the shoots of blackberries have even been used in salads and the leaves for tea. Now, my final shrub for today is the elderberry. Elderberries are considered shrubs by some, and others consider them more of a tree just because they can reach 20 feet in height. Most of the time, elderberries are multi-trunked, so in my world, to me, they are a shrub. The elderberry is a wonderful addition to any edible garden. It grows plentifully in the wild and produces purple black berries in August and September. In the garden, elderberries enjoy moist, well-drained soil, and they do need plenty of sunlight. The flowers of elderberries provide pollen to a variety of insects, including honeybees, little carpenter bees, halictid bees, longhorned beetles, tumbling flower beetles, and more. And little carpenter bees and mason bees even construct nests for their larvae by tunneling into the soft pith of the broken stems. The elder borer moth will feed on the foliage, roots, and other parts of elderberry. And birds that love elderberries include ruffed grouse, ring-necked pheasant, the greater prairie chicken, eastern bluebirds, cardinals, great catbirds, northern mockingbirds, American robins, house finches, and I could go on and on. Mammals that consume the fruits include the fox squirrel, the red squirrel, and the white-footed mouse. And there are records of the eastern box turtle and the eastern mud turtle also consuming elderberries. Cottontail rabbits will gnaw on the bark during the winter as an emergency source of food. And elderberries are well known as being a low-calorie food, high in nutrients, and packed with antioxidants. Black elderberry extract and flower infusions have been shown to reduce the severity and length of the flu, while elderberry also will have positive effects on your heart and blood vessel health. There are supposed to be a lot of other benefits of elderberry, although many of these have limited scientific evidence. Some people also believe that elderberries help fight cancer. Historically, elderberries have been used as a cooling ointment for burns and scalds, and the berries have been used as food, they've been crushed for ink, and even used as a furniture stain for wooden furniture. Traditionally, the cooked berries have been used in preserves, pies and jellies, and even in beverages, fruit soups, and in bread. Flowers have been used as pickles and as an asparagus substitute. Now, while I have not covered nearly as many shrubs as I would like today, I have to conclude the broadcast because I'm pretty sure my time is up. Join me again in 2 weeks when my broadcast will continue to cover Ohio native tree and shrub species. This is Gail Martin signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.